I wanted to read again another just comment from the Touch of the Earth. I missed this one yesterday. It's one that I wanted to read, which kind of fit in, but I still want to read it.
Could you talk a little louder, please?
Yes, I sure will.
Thank you.
This is a just kind of a quote from Walking Buffalo, who really was a Stoney Indian in Canada. And he spent his very early days at Morley, Alberta, but soon was adopted by a white missionary, John McDougall. I don't know if any of you ever read any of his works. He was educated in the white man's school, but never gave up studying nature. In his old age, he was asked by the government to make a world tour as a representative of Indian people. In an address in London, England, at the age of 87, he said, "Hills are always more beautiful than stone buildings, you know. Living in a city is an artificial existence. Lots of people hardly ever feel real soil under their feet, see plants grow, except in flower pots, or get far enough beyond the street light to catch the enchantment of a night light studded with stars. When the people live from scenes of the great spirit's making, it's easy for them to forget it's his laws." And he died in 1967. But anyway, this is his quote. "We were lawless people, but we were on pretty good terms with the great spirit, creator and ruler of all. You whites assumed we were savages. You didn't understand our prayers. You didn't try to understand. When we sang our praises to the sun or moon or wind, you said we were worshiping idols. Without understanding, you condemned us as lost souls just because our form of worship was different from yours. We saw the Great Spirit's work in almost everything: sun, moon, trees, wind, and mountains. Sometimes we approached him through these things. Was that so bad? I think we have a true belief in the Supreme Being, a stronger faith than that of most whites who have called us pagans. Indians living close to nature and nature's ruler are not living in darkness. Did you know that trees talk? Well, they do. They talk to each other, and they will talk to you if you listen. Trouble is, white people don't listen. They never learned to listen to the Indians, so I don't suppose they'll listen to other voices in nature. But I have learned a lot from trees, sometimes about the weather, sometimes about the animals, sometimes about the Great Spirit." And when he mentions weather, there's this very famous, well-known Blackfeet Indian up on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation, who's kind of a holy man and just spiritual person. And the weather people or the meteorologists or whatever reports the weather would call him up and ask him, because he was so accurate. Anyway, I'd wanted to read that because it just kind of fit in with what I was talking about yesterday. But what I wanted to do today, I had brought a couple of videos, and I wasn't really sure if I was going to use them. One was like 30 minutes, and the one that I want to use is 30 minutes today. But I think I'm going to use it, and for this reason. Actually, I've never seen a Sundance taped, and so I was kind of bothered by it. But this is a person who's one of the people that put on the Sundance at Crow, taped it and said I could use it. So I don't feel that I'm doing something, you know, against their tradition and beliefs. But normally a Sundance is not taped. In fact, most Sundances, they don't allow you to take pictures. But I think that this whole process of the Sundance and what's happening, what it means, I think this tape, I mean, because it's actually showing what's going on, would explain a lot more than I can tell you what it's like. So if you don't mind, I'd like to show it, because you're going to see something that's never taped, basically. And sometimes they allow non-Indians to attend the Sundance. In fact, a lot of tribes do now, but usually they don't allow you to take pictures. So anyway, but I was given the privilege to do this.
Mm-hmm. questions of this program we will ever do. It's about black men in America.
Has nothing to do with
I am Dan Odom. I am called Takeston from the Apsaroga, children of the Longbeak Bird. I have traveled a long ways to be here to help my brothers and sisters to be a part of the Big Lunch. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for all the things you have created. I thank you for my life, and I pray that you be with me as I prepare myself for the Big Lunch. I pray that you give me strength and endurance to help all those who are in need, especially the children and the elders. I offer you my pipe and pray that you will provide us with good weather from the four directions. I pray that you will give all those who participate good blessings and to answer all their prayers.
Is like a flute, but it's a traditional.
I have come to El Pita, Arizona to share the Big Lunch dance with my adopted brother, Bob Burden.
One of the basic reasons we found our way to this dance is there's a lot of troubled kids in America, and we said, there doesn't seem to be any end to the grief and the misery that kids in America are in. When I lived on the reservation and talked to the old people, they started talking to the ancient ways and the way people put thousands of years on this country, put things in order. The Sundance to me made sense of people coming together and dancing for a common cause and being able to put their own emotions and their own energy and their own feelings and their own spiritualism into the ceremony that's been done on this continent for thousands of years. And being able to do it with all races and all colors of people and all tribes of native people this is just a very sacred place for us. And when I say we dance for troubled kids, it's the people that work in the field, working with troubled children in America, found their way to our organization and have recommitted ourselves to do this ceremony. And this ceremony is actually been done again for thousands of years on this continent, and it's not necessarily religious in itself. I mean, it's very spiritual because there's all kinds of religions that will come into this ceremony.
As part of the preparation before the Sundance, the Sundance chief and the sponsors dance outside on the site where the Big Lodge will be built. Those who will sing during the 3 days to come use this time to prepare themselves. The singers take this time to remember all the special songs and to teach new singers the old songs.
Thank you.
Those who pledge to dance offer tobacco and pray for a good Sundance. The three nights of outdoor ceremonies prepares the ground for the forthcoming Big Lodge dance. The Big Lodge must be held during the full moon. Those who have pledged to dance for the first time are given instructions and advice throughout the week on how to prepare themselves, for they will not be taking food or water during the 3 days of the Sundance. The ways of the Big Lodge ceremony is also explained.
Your mouth's going to get dry, your throat's going to get dry, and you think that you're going to just die without water, but I've never seen anybody die in a Sundance yet. And it's when you start praying, you everything that we want is in the center pool because of the medicines that are tied to it, the buffalo, the eagle, the Sundance doll. And when we start singing the spirit song, when we start asking for things, we really don't think of food or water. It's what we're praying for and why we've made our commitment, and to help those sponsors that have made the pledge to help the people. And this is what the Sundance means, to working with the people, praying for people, and also for yourself.
The original Crow Sundance was forbidden by the United States government in the late 1800s. The Crows adopted the Shoshone way and brought the Sundance back to the Crow people in the summer of 1941.
Tribe wanted a ceremony that made some spiritual significance behind it, to have our young warriors that were not ready to go off into war during World War II, and it was one of those big wars. Well, they approached the Shoshone tribe to be allowed to use the Shoshone Sundance. And it was from this that my family happened to be involved. My grandfather, Joe Hill, who was known for his singing on the reservation, was one of the people selected to learn the songs of the Sundance. And in doing this, he also generated enough interest to become involved in the actual passing of some of the Sundance bundles from the Shoshone tribe to the Crow tribe.
Doing a Sundance is something personal, that you get in touch with nature again by the elements that it provides, by getting a closer association with the four-legged or the birds, or something that's power that's beyond us. And by doing this with the other people of different nationalities, we have the Christian belief, but we have people coming maybe from Catholic, the Baptist, Mennonite. We even have Catholic priests that have come into our Sundances. And now we're having some Mormons, and it's, to me, it's universal. And we all believe in one God or one supreme being. And I think what's happened is that the Christian people were so anxious to civilize the Native Americans, that they had bypassed what we had practiced for years, for centuries. And now they're coming back and saying, maybe there is a way that these Indians are praying. They do have a belief. And to me, it's not a cult type of thing, or voodoo, or witchcraft. We're asking for good blessings, for good things, for a better understanding, and to get in touch with Mother Nature, and to keep in balance with Mother Nature. And to me, that's a way of taking some time out to sacrifice yourself, to say thank you for the things that have been provided for us, to enjoy the food and the water that has been on here before. And when we get out of the Sundance, we appreciate things more. We don't learn how to be a little more calmer,
and to have respect for other people and for our elders as well.
And you'll see a change in these people that are here. If you had maybe run-ins with some of them, their attitudes totally will change. You know, they all sort of become brothers and sisters of the same lineage. It's just a real, you develop kind of a real good rapport with them, even though you may forget their names and you may not see them for years. When you see them someplace you're working with, that guy was in the Sundance with me, you know, so many years ago, and we meditated together, we prayed together. So it usually kind of develops a bond between all of these people. It's so powerful. I can't describe it.
We got to make a 4th Street across this way.
So you didn't use the this one?
The tree to be used for the center pole for the big lodge is found. The tree is smudged and blessed with sweetgrass. The Sundance chief offers prayers and thanks to the Creator for providing us with a tree. As the tree is cut, each person takes a chip of wood for good luck. It's also a reminder of this particular Sundance. Ceremonies to give them good luck. The buffalo and the eagle are blessed with sweet grass. The buffalo is painted with the white ash from the ceremonial fire at the outdoor dance. To the people of the plains, the buffalo represented food, clothing, tools, and shelter. It also represented all four-legged animals. The eagle is held in high esteem as it represents all creatures of the sky. Placed in the ground.
are measured around the Senate pole. The 12 forked poles are placed in a circle around the Senate pole to represent the 12 moons of the year. The chief pole is placed first to the west of the Senate pole. Next, two poles that mark an entrance are placed in the east. The pole to the south is placed and the pole to the north.
Okay, boys, you got a straight shot on this one. Little more. That's good.
When the lodge is completed, the buffalo is placed on the center pole. Willows are placed above the buffalo. The eagle is placed on the center pole on the east side of the lodge facing west. The eagle and the buffalo are placed by the sponsors. When this is completed, the women dancers clean the lodge. Now the lodge is ready. That afternoon, a ceremonial sweat is held by the Sundance chief and the sponsors. They purify themselves, pray for good weather, and for a good Sundance. Late in the afternoon, the dancers gather for a feast. This will be their last meal and drink for the next 3 days. After that, the dancers get ready and prepare to enter the big lodge.
Oh, I'm anxious. I got my adrenaline flowing. I'm anxious as heck. I got a lot of new people and special thing with Bob. We're ready. We're ready to go.
It's funny, I usually think about a lot of the other people. The people that are going to be on the outside, the people we're going to pray for, the kids in the program, family, and the other dancers. I think that a lot of us this year are focusing on the new dancers that are going in for the first time and how nervous they are and being aware of helping them while we're inside.
I've done a vision quest, but I haven't done Sundance. So I'm pretty nervous, to be honest with you. Thinking about all the people you don't want to think about, I think you start thinking about all the people you want to say prayers for and you start getting psyched up.
That's who we're dancing for, the kids. The kids and the staff and the problem in the country and the relentlessness of what we've got to compete with to do the job with the kids and the families and the misunderstanding about the troubled kids and the lack of opportunities and the prejudice and poverty and everything that goes into creating a problem with these kind of troubled kids and families.
The dancers whistle and go around the lodge once. And the second time around, they enter the lodge itself. The Sundance chief and dancers sing the four medicine songs. The medicine songs are the calling of the spirits and helpers to be a part of the Sundance. A fire that will burn every night is started near the entrance to the big lodge. This fire represents a part of the sun, and its place in the lodge will burn all night. The person responsible for building a fire wishes the dancers a successful dance and that their prayers are answered. Next, four Sundance songs are sung. During the fourth song, the sponsors and the Sundance chief dance. On the next song, the Sundance is officially opened for all the dancers to participate. The dancers may choose to dance or take tobacco to offer prayers. The first evening, the singers sing late in the evening to allow the dancers to find their mode of dancing. Day one begins before sunrise. The dancers wake early to prepare to greet the sun. The singers begin to sing the sunrise song. The dancers stand and whistle in unison to bring the sun up. After the sun is up, the dancers gather around the fire from the night before to sing the four medicine songs. One of the sponsors sprinkles cedar on the embers and offers a prayer. After his prayer, the dancers go outside the lodge to smash themselves with cedar, sweet grass, or sweet sage. At this point, the dancers are allowed some time outside the lodge to socialize before the singers return.
Time for breakfast.
You know, breakfast is the community time, so I really enjoy coming out. The first morning, it doesn't really feel much like breakfast, but by the second morning, it really feels a lot like breakfast.
Singers return, and dancing and prayers begin for the day. Prayers and bless the lodge for the dancers. The Sundance chief and a crier make a public announcement that one of the sponsors of the Sundance, Bob Burden, will receive his medicine fetish. He will be authorized to use his fetish to bless children in need. Bob Burden called Majo Gabush, or he who prays for all, has pledged to do his Sundance, praying for a better understanding of the troubled children he works with. The Sundance chief and medicine man, nursing medicine horse, gave Bob the feathers and then blessed him so that he would use the feathers in the right way. The afternoon of the second day is devoted to blessings and prayer for those in need. The first blessing is Bob's children and family. Blessings continue. Sundance chief and medicine men pray for children, family of dancers, and anyone else in need. The people on the outside bring in wet reeds, sweetgrass, peppermint, and tobacco for the dancers. One of the young dancers goes into a trance and loses consciousness. What he experienced seems very real to him. The Sundance chief helps him through the experience in restoring him to awareness. What is experienced is a very personal thing.
The worst thing was it was just so real. But I'm pretty scared. Yeah, I'm scared.
After the Big Lodge dance is completed, the Sundance chief will explain the experience to the young man. The flag is lowered at sunset, and the women who will find water for the dancers, the water ladies, enter the lodge and are blessed. They receive tobacco, which they will offer in prayers to bless the water. The water will be at a spring in the mountains. The dancing and the prayers will continue late into the evening. The morning sun for the final day of the dance showers the Big Lodge. The sunrise song and the medicine songs are sung for the final time. There are more blessings and special requests for prayers. The dancers anxiously wait for the water ladies to return. The 3 days of fasting and going without water has finally come to an end with the arrival of the ladies. The Sundance chief receives water first, then the medicine men and sponsors. The dancers and then the singers, and the crowd gathers outside the lodge. After the water has been received by everyone, the dancers receive prayers from the Sundance chief, the medicine men, and by some of the elders gathered at the lodge. When the prayers are completed, the big lunch dance is over, and the dancers file out of the new lounge. Many prayers have been answered, many blessings received, and all who participated are happy about a successful Sundance. All. Thank you for being with us as we come to a conclusion of another successful Big Lodge. I pray that you will watch over us and continue to give us good blessings for a good world to live in. Aho.
And this could be very controversial with some tribes to even count any pictures or any tapes. And the Crow tribe is, of course, this could even with Dan Oldelf, I know personally, it might even be controversial with some very traditional, I mean, he's traditional Crow, very traditional, and has, you know, designated as the Sundance chief. But I'm not sure that some of the elders would want a videotape of this. But as you notice, that they did invite a lot of non-Indians, and Crow have done it like at their Crow Fair. You know, everybody's invited, and so they. But some tribes will not. I mean, only tribal members can participate in the Sundance, and it's very private. So I just wanted again to let you know that this is my tribe does not participate in Sundance. That's not part of our tradition. I've not been a part of it. But I know that this is, you know, it's a very sacred ceremony, and I'm surprised that the Crow would do, you know, would videotape it. So, but I thought it was worth showing to you, because probably some of you, you know, it's real hard to explain because I've not participated in a Sundance, I've read about it, but to actually see what happened and the significance. It's pretty unique. Are there any comments about it?
Is the main purpose to honor the sun and to also like bond and grow spiritually and just in the same spiritual aspects of what the sun has to offer?
Well, it's not the sun. I mean, that it's performed during that time because that's when the sun is close to the earth, the solstice. But it's, and I've read about it, this whole, and they didn't go into the symbolism of the tree. It's like, you know, the roots, and all of the, you know, the tobacco and the eagle feather and the flags. But it's like the communication with the Great Spirit, and that it's through this ceremony, and because the sun is the most physical evidence of the Supreme Being, or the sun in the traditional Indian religions has so much significance. It's not the sun, it's not worshiping the sun, he made that real clear. But it's that time honoring and the prayers and the meditation and the fasting, that all the ritualistic things they've done would give them that experience of the power of the Great Spirit. And he didn't explain, you know, the young man that had some vision maybe during this, and most of the Indian people that participate in these will not talk about it. I mean, they do have an experience with something that's beyond, but they will not talk about it. But it's personal, and it's total meditation and prayer. It's part of, I mean, so long, this has been going on for thousands of years. So.
Yes.
Sponsors, like mentioned a couple of the sponsors. How are these chosen? Who? What's the significance of the sponsors?
Well, the sponsors bring, you know, someone may bring the buffalo head, someone may bring
the food.
Bringing
food and helping with the family of the people that are going to be part of the Sundance. Mm-hmm.
It's a very ritualistic and a, for the person going into a Sundance is wanting to have the help of the family membership, the tribal membership, get the person prepared for that Sundance that he's going to do. And normally from what I had understood as a Sundance, it's a year of preparation to activation seminar, that you take a year of working up to going to the Sundance, and your family and your sponsors that are your spiritual leaders help you get into that.
Yeah, it's not just an individual. I mean, the whole extended family, the community is involved. And so the sponsors are from our center that people that bring food and bring whatever is necessary.
Is participation in the Sundance something that a person might do once in their lifetime, 10 times?
Well, some people go every year. It's once a year. So ceremony, and usually the tribes that celebrate that, you know, are in it every year. And of course, the spiritual and holy people that the reservation or the leaders, and they would participate.
This particular Sundance was dedicated to the children and the healing of the children. What are some of the other things you might hold a Sundance for?
Everybody love. You are welcome. There are no.
It's usually for, you know, the tribe. So to bring good blessings on the tribe itself. But if there's a particular problem, you know, a family or illness or, for example, I know there was at a recent ceremony up in Fort Peck, a child has a leaky bowel, and so they have the Sundance or whatever was. And he was one of the main people were praying for this young child. So it could be something like, you know, for a particular member of the tribe, and everybody's praying for that person. But usually it's just overall prayers for a better life. Follow the red road, that's what the Sioux use, the red road, which is the good road.
They have the Sundance at the time of the full moon. Do they dance at night, or do they stop, or is it just from sun up to sun down and then they sleep, or?
They're dancing for 3 days.
3 days and three nights?
They're within the circle. 3 days without food, fasting, no food, no water, and dancing.
And no sleep?
And no sleep, 3 days.
Wow.
So that's when Mark said, and he prepared for this, you're going to do it for a year, you know, so you really have to be an amateur when you want to try that. So I don't know, I didn't see any, you know, elderly people in there, but that would be quite, you know, an endurance that I'm sure the holy and spiritual people
part of that. And it is a mind-altering to do something like that.
Yes.
It's obviously going to alter your mind and open you up to something you haven't been aware of.
Have any of you ever fasted?
Yeah,
I'm Lutheran now, but I was raised Catholic. And fasting during Lent was, I mean, a lot of Catholics did that, and it does, you're right, because I can remember doing this, you know, and it does Yeah, I'm going to put you on a different level of something, of awareness or consciousness or something. Well, if you have 3 days, and then you have that dancing and the music and the prayer, the whistles, and you know, that was something almost mystical about. Definitely experiences.
Is there one individual or group of individuals who decide which people are allowed to dance? Or can anybody who wants to dance, they have to meet some requirements?
Well, as I mentioned, some tribes, it's only tribal members. They would not invite.
Crow invited,
it was like different religions, different nationalities, as you could tell.
Yeah.
And so apparently that, I don't know, maybe Mark might know, they have some criteria.
The number of different Sundances that I have heard of is that either just Native American and do not let other Native Americans.
I mean, not those Native Americans even. Say it was just Native Americans. Do they have to meet certain criteria?
Well, they didn't. The one that I knew in South by Olympia, east and west of Seattle, was that they would only have Native Americans that could go to the Sundance, and they had to have a spiritual sponsor kind of thing that would get them in that preparedness for the Sundance ritual itself. I could have gone down and been part of working as a sponsorship and helping them with like the food and the bringing in water and helping run the bloodline that they would go. But when a person makes that decision for going into a Sundance ceremony, the person is not only getting prepared for that, but he has to find out which one he makes that choice, which one he is going to. That is either only Indian for one tribe, or only one that is only for Native American people, or one that is Native.
Right, and the people that were there, the non-Indian people, they would be invited. And they wouldn't just come and say, "Oh, I want to be part." No, these would be people they trust. I mean, the sponsors trust, and they have a relationship, and really, you know, it's like a blood brother, blood sister of that. They might pick that up. These are people they have sincere trust and like extended family. And a lot of tribes have adopted, you know, people who have been friends and they have trusted and have helped them, and they have adopted them into their tribe. Now, someone like that would be, you know, no doubt would be able to participate in a religious ceremony. But it's taken a trust, and it isn't just someone they just meet and they all come to a Sunday as well.
I just wonder, is he compared to the Sundance type of ritual? Christian ritual seems so tame. I mean, there's nothing. But could you go beyond the Sundance? So, I mean, that would be one example of Native American prayer, worship, fasting. Are there other than the Sundance? Not the exact same type of thing, but where there would be involved something, movement and prayer and fasting and that sort of thing. Could you give me examples of that?
Almost every, and they have, it depends on the tribe, but there are various ceremonies, like a naming ceremony, a birth of a child,